Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Super pumped to be chatting with Tebe. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Shiloh?
Good. You're hanging out with the kids today. Is that what's going on or what?
Yeah, I've had them actually for about a month now because school down here in the States, or at least in Tennessee, finished about a month ago. So we've been busy with the kids, trying to keep them occupied over the summer. And yeah, just, you know, just trying to keep the kids busy, really.
Is there a is there a point yet where you're just like, man, I'm running out of stuff to do? I'm running out of things to keep them busy.
No, because my wife is fantastic with keeping them busy in activities. They're doing so many things. They're playing tennis. They got swim lessons, golf camp, vacation Bible school. They are, my wife is a superstar. She's got them doing all different kinds of things this summer to keep them busy.
Man, if I got to do one of those things a summer, I felt like that was a great summer.
Yeah, right? I was like, how come you didn't sign me up for golf camp?
Yeah, listen, I'm pretty childish. I would fit in.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Shotgun Rider was such a huge song, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, just keep them rolling, you know? I mean, it's all about consistency. That's what I've learned by watching my buddies Dean Brody and Dallas Smith and people like that. It's just having consistency with the songs that you release, and that's how you build the fan base.
Well, it's working. It's working. and then, you know, of course, you know, Tim McGraw had Shotgun Rider too, but yours is better.
Yeah, but that was like 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. And I knew that going in, but I just didn't really care.
Nah, why would you? I was just kidding. Someone said, man, how come, literally someone was like, how come we've never had a song called Shotgun Rider before? That's fantastic. And I was like, Tim McGraw did one, but it was way different. It wasn't the same.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, his song was definitely different. And, you know, if a certain amount of time flies by or goes by between, you know, song titles, I'm always fine with that. It just is what it is. And, it did really well for us. People seem to dig it.
You got a new one out already, which has to come out because it can't come out any later. Song of the Summer?
Yeah. We kind of had to cut off Shotgun Rider there a little bit because we were running out of summertime. we released Song of the Summer a little earlier than, or I guess a little later than expected. But yeah, the response to the new single, it's very similar, to be honest, to when we put out Denim on Denim. People are, you know, music is subjective, right? So usually people have to kind of live with the song and get into it that way. But right off the bat, people are really seem to be digging this song. And hopefully, if it does, even half of what Denim did, we'll be in great shape.
Yeah, because Denim on Denim is still, is that maybe one of your most requested songs still? I mean, when you actually get to go play live shows again?
Oh, yeah, it's not even close. I mean, Denim was just such a big song for me in my career. It just went platinum. So that's kind of cool as well. It's kind of cool. It's really cool. It's very hard to do. So having a platinum single is
really cool. Did you know going in, like, I mean, I always wonder that, like, because sometimes it's like the strangest songs become hits. When you recorded Denim, did you ever imagine it was going to be so impactful?
No, not at all. I think one of the smartest things an artist or a songwriter can do is to trust the people around them. And I've written a lot with my good friend Kelly Archer, who's actually a fellow Canadian. She's from Vancouver. But she had that idea, Denim on Denim, and it took a good 15 or 20 minutes to convince me to write that title. Because I said to Kelly, I'm like, Kelly, how are we going to write a hit song about the Canadian tuxedo? I don't know if that's possible. But she twisted my arm, and next thing you know, we've got this massive smash on our hands. It's kind of funny how those things happen, where you may not be 100% on a song, and then it ends up being your biggest hit.
It definitely is. Although I thought Who's Gonna Love You should have been your biggest hit. Cause I think that's still so clever.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that one did well as well. I mean, that was my first ever number one song as an artist. So that was extra special.
What was your first number one as a songwriter?
Oh, man. I'm going to say maybe Sean Desmond back in like the early to mid 2000s. That would probably be my first number one. Yeah, that was a while ago.
You've been doing this for a long time, almost as long as me, maybe longer.
I have, but you know what? I got in really, really early though. I've been doing this since like 16 years old.
That's what we keep telling ourselves, right? When you look back at how long you've been doing stuff, you're like, oh yeah, but I started really young. Don't worry.
I know. I've been doing a lot of interviews recently where people are kind of digging into my past and the transition from when I first started at 16 to when I moved to Nashville, moved back to Canada. And I'm just like, man, you guys are making me feel really, really old here because we're going, we're going back easily 15 years.
I don't want to go back, but I've always been curious. And I think we've talked about this before. But you started out and then you had to redefine yourself a little bit, right? Like, you sort of started out as an artist, then sort of, you know, took the songwriting lane and then you came back. Is it hard to not, I don't want to say motivated, but is it hard to reinvent yourself and come back as an artist when you've had such great success as a songwriter?
I think so. I think over the last 5 or 6 years, if I'm honest, I've just been searching and trying to 100% nail down my position in Canadian country music or country music in general. You know, I mean, the hardest thing for an artist is to create your own niche. And if you look at any of our superstars, the Dierks Bentleys, the Eric Church, the Keith Urban, they all have a very unique sound that is unique to them and sets them apart. And that's what I've been striving to do over the last 5 or 6 years. And Denim was really the start of that for me. It really defined a sound that was only me. And then we just kind of kept moving forward with it.
Let's talk about Matt Lang. Can we, is that a thing we could, we're allowed to talk about
absolutely.
Matt Lang. I know this is your interview, but, that guy has learned English incredibly well. I was on a Zoom call the other day and his English is better than mine now.
You know what, with Matt, it's almost like a survival tactic, right? Because he grew up speaking French his whole life and only started to learn English a couple of years ago, really. So he's done a fantastic job. The fact that he can go and do interviews and not have to have me sitting by his side anymore is it's a proud moment.
Those who don't know, Tebe is Matt Lang's label guy, right? Like, you started a label with Matt, didn't you? Not with Matt, but
yeah.
For Matt.
Well, we started, my longtime manager, Jill Snell, and I, we started this label called J Word Artist Group, which is under the Orchard and Sony Music Canada. And Matt was our first ever signing. And it's been great watching him do his thing out the gate, you know, winning that CCMA, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a Discovery Award. Mm-hmm. And then going on to have top 10 singles. So I'm really excited about what Matt's been able to do over the last couple of years. And then of course, to learn English that fast, it's really been amazing to watch.
Man, the ladies love him too. Like, I mean, I don't want to say you're not a handsome dude, Tebe, but when you walk into a room with Matt Lang, I don't think anyone's looking at you that much.
Yeah, that's why I try not to walk into rooms with Matt Lang.
And it doesn't matter the age either. Right? Like, I've heard people who are older talk about how awesome Matt Lang looks and then younger. So I just think that we should never walk into a room with Matt Lang.
I am with you there. You and I can walk in together. We will let him go.
That's right.
In front of us.
No, behind us. We want
to. No, I was going to say behind us, but I didn't want to be rude.
No. We go in first and they'll be like, oh, look at those guys. And then when we, then he'll take their attention. See, that's what happens. So
exactly.
All right. So Song of the Summer. And then are you playing any shows? Are we actually going to get a chance to hear this live at some point? Because man, things are opening up quick, aren't they? Like I haven't seen this many shows pop up in this short amount of time.
Yeah. People are dying for the live music and, hey, I'm not even sure a lot of folks even realize how important live music is to them in their daily lives. And you're starting to see things open up and yeah, people are really, really excited. I know that I'm working on a tour, which isn't really much of a secret. So I'm going to be going out again on my second headlining tour across Canada, coming up next year. We're already working on that. We're almost done. And yeah, I mean, for me, it's just being able to play these new songs for the fans. Cause I've had a couple of songs on the radio over the last 12, 13 months that have done really, really well, but I haven't been able to play those for the fans in person. Happened on a Saturday night, Shotgun Rider, Song of the Summer. so I'm really looking forward to that, being out there and just connecting with the fans and playing the songs that they've heard on the radio the last 12 months.
Look at a guy like Tyler Joe Miller, who has had two number ones and another top 10, so three hits, and he's never had a chance to play them live until I don't even know, it might be recently, like maybe he's had a show that's popped up, but I know last time I chatted with him, he had not played any of those songs for any fans. That's crazy. Full beat.
Yeah, it's crazy, but you know what? It's better to, I wouldn't mind walking on stage as a new artist with two number ones in the top 10.
That's right. People know you automatically, right?
Yeah, he's going to be just fine. He'll be just fine. I like Tyler a lot.
Do you remember the first opening slot that you ever had on a major tour? And do you remember going out there to like crickets? Because I'd be so worried as a new artist that you have to go out there when people don't know your music.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. That's the hardest part about being an artist is literally trying to grow your fan base and make fans, especially when you don't have a song on the radio. I think the first tour I ever did as an opening act, actually, I know what it is. It was Emerson Drive and Doc Walker. They were heading across Canada on something, I can't remember what it was called, Making the Band Tour or something about a band, because they're both bands.
Yeah.
But yeah, they let Emerson Drive. That's why I've been such great friends with them for so long. They let me come on their tour bus and open up the shows for them and just to grow the fan base. I think I'd only had Wake Me Up at that point that had been a hit. So, or no, that was before that. Excuse me. That was like, I'm talking, wow, that was like 10 years ago now. So no, I probably had no hits.
Yeah, you're just, Tebe, what? You were just happy when people said your name right, right? You were just like,
yeah, oh. I mean, absolutely. 10 years in and still, you know, every once in a while people are not getting it right, but I've had to earn that, right? Like, it's not like I have an easy name. Like the Hunter Brothers. Come on, that's so easy.
Yeah.
I should have picked something like that.
Should have. I really wish you had been able to go to golf camp.
Yeah, me too. I mean, my game definitely needs a little bit of work. I love playing golf. But yeah, you know, I needed the camp in particular because I'm heading out to Arizona in a couple of days with my family for a quick little getaway. And I'm going to be playing TPC Scottsdale. And I don't know if you're a golfer, Shiloh, but that is one of the best courses on the PGA Tour. So I'm looking forward to getting out there and scoring 100 on this amazing course.
How did you get an invite to play there? Is that like an invite-only club member thing, or can you just buy your way on?
You can. It's actually a public course, but a good buddy of mine is a rep for FootJoy, one of the major golf companies. They make all kinds of apparel and stuff.
Okay.
So he counts them as one of his clients. So I think we're going to be able to go out there and save $400 each and play for free. It's going
to
be great.
Are you going to embarrass yourself out there? Is your game okay?
No, my game's okay. My game is not, it's not horrendous, but it's the big pressure moments, right? When you're playing on a PGA course,
yeah,
and you're staring down a 530-yard par five or something like that. Like it can be very daunting, but I think just to get out there and play on such a great course is going to be fun, and the weather is supposed to be great, so I'm just looking forward to it.
And if anything bad happens on the course, just say, well, I told my wife to send me to golf camp, and she clearly didn't do it, so.
Exactly. Blame my wife, right? That's maybe the one time you can actually say that.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's not many times in your life that can happen, so. We'll have fun in Arizona. I hope it's not 115 degrees there. I
literally texted my wife last night and showed her this the forecast. So I'm going to see if I can quickly pull it up here because it was absolutely insane. It's 106, 103, 104, 109. It's brutal. It's just brutal.
Yeah,
no chance of rain. It's
no,
gonna be crazy.
No, it's going to be hot. You're going to come back so relieved to get back to the Nashville relative cool.
Yeah, which is saying a lot because it's been 35 degrees and just disgusting humidity in Nashville.
Well, they say that's the thing about Vegas, though. It's a dry heat, so maybe it won't be so bad. I've been to Vegas several times, but we usually go in like November or something. So I've never experienced the 100 and whatever dry heat, but people say it's better than the humidity. So.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I've spent time out in the desert, and it definitely is. But you're right. We probably would have been smarter to go in November.
Yeah, whatever. You're busy. You got a tour to plan. We'll get more details on that tour, I'm sure, coming up. Tebe, thank you very much, and good luck with the Song of the Summer. I'm sure it's going to be the Song of the Summer. It has to be. With a title like that.
I set myself up for it. Exactly.
Because if it's not, you have to be careful in what you call your songs.
Yes, of course. I'm taking a big risk here, but I think it's a pretty good song, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because you never want to call it, hey, the number six song of the summer. That doesn't roll off the tongue, right?
No, but you know what's funny? Speaking of funny song titles, Brantley Gilbert just released a brand new single, and it's called The Worst Country Song of All Time.
Have you heard it yet?
I have. Yeah, I have. And you should check it out. Check it out. It's very interesting how they wrote that. But as a songwriter, when I saw that title, I was very confused. I was more intrigued. I'm like, how are they gonna write this song? What is this song about? Because it's called The Worst Country Song of All Time. So yeah, go ahead and check it out.
Awesome. Tebe, thank you very much.
Thank you, Shiloh.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.